Thanks very much, Andrew. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate the King. Yeah, it's lovely. Welcome everybody to our worship service this morning, and a special welcome to John Buchanan unto Morn, who is ministering with us this morning and this evening. So welcome, John and Morn. Just a few announcements before I hand over to John. Now remember, if you're too hate in here, you can eye take off, okay? We didn't want anybody falling a war or anything like that with the heat, but I suppose it's better to be hot than cold, isn't it, Rachel? Okay. It's not good being cold. So welcome to this lovely warm church on this lovely warm day. It's almost like a spring day, isn't it, John? This is almost like Hopeman, really. Amazing. Now, tomorrow we've got, let's start with today. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. So today, we're joining Morn, as we say, our Sunday school during this service as well. 3:30 this afternoon, there's a service at Faithly Home. So if you're available and free to come and worship with the residents at Faithly Home, you're more than welcome to come for a half-hour service. 3:30 this afternoon, Faithly Home in Lochboach Road. Tomorrow, the Coffee Emmaus from 10 a.m. till 2. Children's meeting at 6:30 tomorrow night. The midweek meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 is James McMillan, who's coming to minister on Wednesday night. The Thursday night at 7:00 is a ladies' fellowship with the speaker, Mrs. Lynn Fivey. Next Saturday, 7:00, a prayer meeting, 7:30, and Saturday night, a youth club. And then next Sunday, we've the prayer meeting at 10:15 up the stairs. And then the speakers next Sunday, God willing, 11:00, Reverend Donald Morton, who was here a few weeks ago. There's no Sunday school next Sunday. And at 6:00, it's Mr. David Murray from Peterhead. Now, tonight, I think there is tea after the evening service. So, just thought to mention as well. There's a bit about the red chair disposal. There is some red chairs in the lobby. If you've got a pressing need for chairs in your shed or in a bit of your house or whatever, or you know somebody who's needing some chairs, just help yourself, okay? And there's also like half the chairs we're disposing of. We didn't want to chuck them out. We want to make sure that they go to good homes, okay? So if any of you has got a good home for up to 94 red chairs, okay? Because we're keeping 94, you see, for the back hall. It's only got 70 blue chairs, right? And if we fill that hall, a blue chairs plus 94 red chairs, we'll get 180 chairs. Now, didn't I do the sums on this, okay? But 180 chairs through there will completely fill that back hall. And that's what we want, that's the kind of service we want, isn't it? 180 folk full. And then this place, we want to fill this as well, okay? And then there'll be an overflow up the stairs. That's what we're looking for. There's plenty of folk in this town who are desperate to know the gospel. The problem is they're not desperate. They should be. And we've got to pray for that. And we're looking for it, aren't we, John? Right across our country. So anyway, welcome, John, in the name of the Lord. And I'll hand over to you now. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Well, good morning, folks. It's good to be back with you and to share once again in the fellowship here in Fraserburgh Baptist Church. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. It's good to come together in fellowship, the one with the other, to praise our wonderful God together. And the psalmist writes for us, and this is part of what we'll look at later on this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Praise God. Let's do that together as we sing, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring." It's number 3 in our hymn books and also on the screen. Praise my soul. As we come before this great God, let's unite our hearts together in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we come this morning as a company of your children to offer our praise and our thanks for all that you are and all that you have been to us in these days. We acknowledge this morning that we come before one who is all-powerful and all-knowing, one who is exalted and lifted high, a holy and righteous God. Would we thank you this morning, O God, that we can come before you and enter your presence and know your nearness only because of what was done at Calvary through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you afresh this morning, Heavenly Father, for the great love that you had for mankind, that in spite of our waywardness and rebellion, you lovingly sent your Son into the world to take our punishment and to take away our sin as he offered his life on Calvary's cross. Father, we rejoice this morning in your goodness, in your grace, and in your mercy towards us, and humbly acknowledge with thankfulness how great is our God of grace, love, and mercy. And Father, this morning as we come to you, we do so in the confidence, knowing that you will not turn us away or reject us in any way. And we thank you that your love for us continues day by day. And we acknowledge with thankfulness again your great faithfulness to us, that in the moments of our weakness, in the moments of our loneliness, in those times of weakness or ill health, you are our strength and our shield, our defender. And we thank and praise you this morning for loving us so much. Lord, we pray that as we meet together this morning, that we may feel the nearness of your presence, and that you would take from our hearts and lives anything that would hinder us from hearing what you would say to us as we read your word and as we sing your praise. And Father, may it be that as we leave from this place, we will do so rejoicing in the knowledge of your love and grace and mercy towards each one of us. Be ever so near, we pray, our Father, to those of our fellowship not with us at this time. Perhaps there are those who are laid aside through weakness and ill health. We commend them to your grace and keeping, and ask, Lord, that you would minister to them where they are. And if it so please you, bring to them that measure of health and strength that they desire. But whatever, Lord, may they be granted your grace to endure all that comes before them. Comfort those, we pray, who have a heavy and sad heart this morning. Draw near to them, we pray, and grant them that peace that only you can provide. And Father, we pray for our pastor this morning, and ask that you would minister to him. And in this time of sabbatical, may he be renewed and refreshed and granted a fresh vision and encouragement and assurance from you for the work that you have called him to. Remember him and his family at this time, and may they know your hand upon them, guarding, guiding, and keeping. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless us together this morning, not because we ask, but in order that your name would be glorified. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again this morning the hymn, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is Here." Let's do that together this morning.
Thank you.
By way of introduction to what we will speak about later, let me read to you from Psalm 33 this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest on us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen. We're going to continue in our worship this morning as we would bring our offerings to the Lord. And as we do so, we're going to sing through the hymn, You Are My Strength. So let's keep our seats until the offering has been uplifted, and then we'll see whether we can stand again for more singing. But the offering will be uplifted as we sing, You Are My Strength When I Am Weak. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, or to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You are my strength, thanks we. You are my treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Father, we do thank you for all that you give to us and the way in which you have blessed us, the way in which you provide all that is necessary for life and living. We give you our praise and thanks for the way in which you have prospered us, each and individual. And we ask now that you would receive these, our gifts and offerings, and use them, we pray, O God, for the furtherance of your kingdom, both here and abroad. We ask our Father that you continue your good hand upon us as your people and lead us forward in these days and give us a clear understanding of your mind and heart, what is your good and acceptable and perfect will, O God. And then grant to us as your children the grace and strength to be obedient to all that you say to us in these days. We ask you this morning, Father, as we're gathered in your house, to remember those little lives that have left us to go to Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Be with them, we pray. May they hear your word and become knowledgeable of the truth of your word. And grant, O God, our Father, that they may be found in Christ, knowing him as their Lord and Savior. Guard and protect their lives in these days in which we live. And we ask our Father that as we wait now in your presence, that you would help us to hear your voice in all that we are saying and doing today, both speaker and hearer alike. And to your name be the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. This just last week, we were down in Yorkshire visiting with my son and daughter-in-law, celebrating the birth of their second child, our fifth grandchild. And whilst we were there, their eldest son, Ewan, who's 3.5, he would follow Granny and Granda about quite happily, as no doubt we were keen to spoil him. And when Granda would sneeze or cough, he would say, "Bless you, oh, bless you." And then when he would do something similar, I would say, "Oh, bless you." And he would say, "Thank you. You're welcome." You know, and it was quite interesting. And of course, people were coming in and visiting the new baby and seeing him. And they would say things like, "Oh, bless him. Isn't he lovely?" And you know, that word was being used so frequently last week that it made me stop and think about the word bless and blessing. You know, we often misunderstand what it really means to be blessed. Going back in ancient times, both blessings and curses were common, and they were seen by the people to be have a power of their own, almost like a magical spell that they would pronounce. But when you come to God's word, in contrast to that, blessing and to bless is something completely different. The biblical writers understood blessing as a declaration of how God acts towards people, and sometimes even things. Think back with me for a moment to the time of creation, for example. And we are told that after God created mankind in his own image, we read, he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply," Genesis chapter 1. On the seventh day, we're told that God rested from all his work and that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, Genesis chapter 2. It implies that God favors, that God delights in and invests worth and meaning into all that he blesses. For it is far more than simply wishing someone well. When God blesses us in some way or another, he is committed to making it happen in our lives. John Newton, in his wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, put the verse, "The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life shall last." Do you recall with me this morning the promises that were made to Abram? In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram and said, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." God's blessing on Abram meant that he was committed to making Abraham's descendants into a great nation and making them and Abraham himself a blessing to many others. It wasn't a wish for Abraham, but it was God's intended plan for him and something that God would do. Now, Jacob, Abraham's grandson, has a part to play in this idea as well for us this morning. Esau, his brother, his older brother, had the right of inheritance over the younger brother, Jacob. But God, you'll recall, had determined that Jacob would receive the blessing and not his brother. But Jacob was so greedy for that blessing that he resorted to trickery and deceit in order to get what God had planned for him all along. And here's the punchline that I want to bring in. Much later, Jacob, we read in God's word, wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. And he said on that occasion, I will not let you go until you bless me. You see, friends, this morning, you cannot bless yourself. We all need to be blessed by someone other than ourselves. And our richest and choicest blessing in life comes from our Heavenly Father. The actor Ben Kingsley once shared how, when he was growing up, he lacked the blessing of his parents, especially when he decided on acting as his career. I believe they wanted him to become a doctor. And they would make light of his achievements, and they never really praised him or acknowledged his talent. And Ben Kingsley said it was only when he was knighted by the Queen that he felt that sense of acceptance and recognition to fill the vacuum that had existed in his life. He described it as being loved. At his baptism, Jesus, as he came up out of the water, heard the voice of his Father say, You're my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Mark chapter 1. And although the word bless or blessing isn't in those words, can I suggest to you that that's what was happening there? God the Father delighting in and blessing his Son, the Son who would then go and serve others, knowing that he had his Father's blessing. The Old Testament book of Numbers is all about how Israel and their wanderings through the desert. And one of the things that occurred during that time was when Moses went up Mount Sinai and met with God. The Ten Commandments and all the instruction about the tabernacle and how to worship God were given to him. And while there, God said this to Moses, and this is my text for this morning. He says in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 23, Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. I take a closer look at that blessing, and you notice that there are three things actually given and promised, and they're all promises made to us as individuals. In the original language, the word you is singular. It's indicating that it's for individual people, not just the nation. That great saint of old, Augustine, once said, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. The first blessing that is given is the Lord bless you and keep you. When God blesses his people, he keeps them. It's a picture of a soldier standing guard at his post. The Old Testament writers often referred to the Lord as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. He protects, he defends, he shields, he shelters us, he keeps us, guards us, and overshadows us in the face of all types of danger, whether we are facing annoying inconvenience or heartbreaking loss. The psalmist in Psalm 121, which we read at the beginning of the service, reminds us our help comes from the Lord who watches over us to keep us from slipping and to shield us from harm both now and forevermore. The words of the Savior himself come to mind. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Beneath his watchful eye, the saints securely dwell. The hand which keeps all nature up shall guard his children well. The second blessing that we see here is for favor. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. In ancient times, people believed if the gods shined their face on you, it meant that you were the recipient of their favor. In contrast, the lack of favor was a result of the gods hiding their face. In the Bible, when God shines his face on you or on me, it means that he will be gracious to us. He will show you his favor. It's been described in one of the commentaries as the smile of God's approval. That God is smiling on me because he loves me and I am his son. And in Jesus Christ, I have experienced the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the peace of God, and the keeping of God. And that's the third blessing that's found here. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God's face turned towards us means that he gives us his peace. It's the Jewish word shalom, which is more than simply the absence of conflict. That Hebrew word shalom is all about wholeness or completeness. It's about a right relationship with God and with others. Shalom is how an upside-down world is put the right way up in God's plan and purpose. Do you remember the words that Jesus spoke? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Reminding us that in the uncertainties of life, we have the assurance of a Heavenly Father who loves his children and cares for them, and therefore we need not be worried or anxious. You know, I can't explain that to you. And I don't think that you could explain to me either the peace that God gives us in such circumstances. But you know, we can all experience it as we trust him and wait for him and hope in him as he guards our hearts and our minds. Now that's what the commentators call the priestly blessing contains. That's its content. It's God's protection, his favor, and his peace. The question we might ask then is, how does God bless us and keep us? I think perhaps the Apostle Paul had that blessing in mind as he wrote his letters to encourage the church in the first century. So often he began his letters by saying, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The blessing that God gave to the nation of Israel was given now to the church in and through Jesus. We long for that grace and peace in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our world today. Isn't that what we all really long for deep down in the dangerous world in which we're living? To know that whatever happens, God is there watching over us, guarding us. We long to know that peace, that wholeness, that shalom, both within ourselves and in all our relationships. The amazing thing, the great thing is this: that's what God wants for you. That's how gracious and loving he is. James reminds us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, sometimes in our lives, the blessings abound like rain. But sometimes they just trickle in one by one to encourage us and to support us. But whether they are many or few in our lives, they come simply with a message from God himself. I see your needs. You are mine, and I will look after you. These good things only come to us from the Lord. They're not of our earning or our deserving. They're not our right by nature or ability. They're a gift of God's amazing grace for each one of us. You know, it's so easy to take for granted the material and spiritual blessings that God has given to us, especially when they come to us every day, new every morning. That's why we need to just stop and remember that the true owner of all that we possess is God himself. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. O Lord, yours is the kingdom. You are the exalted head over all. Here's the hard part. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, you may recall how he asked God to show him his glory. God said to Moses, "You can't see my face, for no one can see me and live. Instead, I'll cover you with my hand, and when I've passed by you, you will just see my back." The reason being that sinful man cannot see the face of God and survive. How then can the blessing of God's face to shine upon you and me ever be accomplished? The answer is found in when and to whom this blessing was actually given. Follow me if you will on this. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the sin offerings, having offered all that were the necessary sacrifices for the people. He would then come out and bless the people with these words that we've read: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Moses had been instructed to say to Aaron, "This is what you must do." Aaron was the head of the priesthood in those days. Jesus did all of that for you and me. But he offered himself as a sacrifice, not a lamb. He did it once and only once for all men, for all time. And because of his sacrifice, he can raise his hands and speak the words of that blessing over us, his children. It's an act of radical grace and mercy. Jesus has paid for our sin and given to us his righteousness. And how do we get the blessing? By trusting in the finished work of Calvary, where a great exchange can take place. We give him our sin, and in return, we receive his righteousness. The stranger, an alien, becomes a child of God. Those who lived in darkness now live in the light of his kingdom. So how then does all of this impact our lives? How are our lives shaped by God's blessing on us? In verse 27 of Numbers chapter 6, God says, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." God says that this blessing puts his name on the people. He names us with his name, and that ought to completely reshape our lives. For we have that new identity. We know who we are, as we've just remarked, a child of God. We're not alone. We're part of a family. We have a new sense of security that nothing can happen to us ever to change our name again. Our standing in Jesus Christ is secured not only for time, but for all eternity. Oh, how blessed are we this morning, brothers and sisters, to be a child of the King. We don't live in deficit. We live in a surplus. We're the children of a heavenly King, the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God, the faithful, unchanging, gracious God, merciful, compassionate, glorious Father, our shield, our fortress, our light and our strength, our shepherd, redeemer, and friend. But such privilege, rather, brings its own accountability. For we are to represent him to this world in which we live. And we need to live in ways that will reflect who he is. Love, forgiveness, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, these should all crown our lives. Not just once, occasionally, but every day. Every day we can renew our minds with that truth, which is God turns his face towards me, towards you. And he shines on us because of the richness of his grace. Only then will we be able to live out that blessing instead of seeking it from others. And when we do, two things happen. First, we will bless God. Let me expand on that. For in Luke's gospel, Jesus, after being crucified and raised again to life, led the disciples, we read, out to the vicinity of Bethany, where he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And Luke records, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. When we are blessed by God, you just can't stop blessing him in return, worshipping, praising, thanking him. That's something that C.S. Lewis called inner health made audible. He said that because you know when you had this blessing, your heart can't help but overflow with praise to the one who gave it to you. Isn't that what you sang with me as we commenced our worship? Praise my soul, the King of heaven, and to his feet, you're my tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like we, his praise should sing. The second thing that happens is that we will bless others. When we know this blessing, when we understand that we are his, that we have his name on us, we will want to bring that blessing to others, to the people we live next door to, in our street, in the community of Fraserburgh, in the district all round about. We will know that we are tasked to go and live as God would live in the world. We receive his blessing in order that we might be a blessing, even to those who hurt us, even to those who oppose us or insult us. We must never, ever take God's blessing without ever giving back. We have a responsibility to learn God's ways, to walk in his truth, and to glorify his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen. We're going to sing in closing that great hymn by John Newton. And I thank Andrew for choosing the hymns this morning, which have been so in keeping with our thoughts. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.